guide me, O Lord, your Jehovah.
We'll start with 13. I'll take a breather with that one. 13 in the black book. It's 4:26, is it? Number 13 in the black book. I should have said at the start. Good to be in church. Mark, would you open us in prayer, please?
Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this time again set aside. And goodness, what a change of weather and temperature. But it's good to be in your house, Father. Thank you for putting upon Christy's heart again to bring us another message this evening. And pray even now that you would inspire him and fill his mind with thoughts that you need for us to hear. Bless us and watch over us as we take our time and lift up our praises, Lord. And I just want to just think especially, Lord, on private prayer requests. For wee Shannon, for Sean and Kathleen's wee girl Shannon, Lord, and surgeries and her health, Lord, we pray your will would be done. Pray too for the Hutt family and Dennis Johnson. And Lord, for all the folks over in Grace Bible in Black Creek that have, it seemed very suddenly came down with this flu virus, Lord, that you would save lives, and Lord, that you would speak to souls. Be with us now, Father, I pray you. Speak to each one of us individually, and Lord, comfort, strengthen, give portions of wisdom, and guide us and direct us, Lord, I pray. Just love you and praise you. And we ask all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, and according to your will. Amen. Amen.
Amen. And number 426, is that it? 426. Let's see how we go. Let's stand for this one.
Peace on earth, goodwill. Turn tonight to Psalm number 67. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth, Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Amen.
I know this is probably a cardinal sin whenever it comes to, if there's such a thing, as opposed to a venial, but whenever it comes to listening to people reading the Bible, but I had another couple of verses marked in 68, I appreciate the reading, Will, where it talks about, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Psalm 68, verse 19, and even 18 as well are very, very good. But we appreciate that. Appreciate Steve for his contributions. I'm sure Norman might have an issue with... But I think Steve's trying to break you in gently, and he's going to go for like Matthew 1 or something like that round about Christmas. And you'll have every strange Jewish name that was ever... invented to read to us some evenings. But you can just do it. Mr. A, B, C, D, E, F, and G, and so on and so forth. Anyway, a slightly more sensible and serious note. Please make sure you get one of these little red prayer lists. This is our token Christmas coloured prayer list. Make sure you get one. And should you even once in the week, for everyone that goes out there, should you just put your glasses on and even pray reading it and calling names out to God. It is very, very important. Will's mom was saying on the way in that there's times she wakes up at odd hours, or she just gets a great burden for people, and she just starts praying for folks. And that's what we need to do. And if you don't ever feel like that, just take a time and pray for people, even once in the week, once a day if you have the time. I certainly appreciate my name being mentioned in the halls of heaven. Things won't happen if we don't ask God for them. We're not going to sit like spoiled kids with a big long face on us and our faces all screwed up and God say, bless you for being a good wee fella. That's not the way it works. You have to ask. Anyway, I just want to remind you to take that. Please do pray for Taylor. She is starting her travels tomorrow, I do believe, in this direction, isn't it? From driving and then flying, isn't that it? So she has a lot. I think she has like 24 plus hours of travel over the next 2.5 to 3 days. So please do pray for Taylor Roth. And if you're praying for Taylor, pray for mom and dad as well. And I think they both need to be saved. So please do pray for that. For good weather, for smooth sailing, and for no bother at customs and at airport terminals. And for Christy as he travels the whole way down on time to pick her up. So please do pray for him. Dublin's not too bad, but And we're not wishing any ill, but there can be many a slip betwixt the cup and the lip. Please do pray for Taylor. You've heard Shannon mentioned a couple of times today. She was born with spina bifida, spent her whole life in a wheelchair. She's never had the opportunity or misfortune to have to eat a Big Mac and fries. She is fed through a tube. She has had more surgeries probably than all of us in this room put together, and then some. And she's still a very contented and happy wee girl. Please do pray for Shannon. She had a perforated stomach or bowel or something like that, and she just kept soldiering on. Her mom and dad, and of course her, need all of our prayers, especially at this particular time. We haven't made mention of them for a while, but please do pray for Joanne. What's her wee fellow's name? Is it Stephen? Her dad's name. Anyway, please pray for Joanne and her son and her dad. They are over here at the moment. She just had her baby son there, what, about a month ago, would it be? A few weeks. So please do pray for them. Please remember Ling and Frank and Esther and Pat and Steve. We miss them as well. It's good to have everybody here that is here. There's a bunch of stuff to pray for. I know Christmas is a difficult time for many people, but keep your eyes on the Lord and keep Him in mind, and it will help you over so many things. The men have the benefit of being reminded that every time we go to use the restroom, because it quotes Isaiah 43 on the wall. And it says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength and mount up with wings as eagles, running and not fainting, and walking and not falling," or something like that there. I've forgotten what that last bit, but please do. You have to get one for the ladies. So obviously the men need a bit more encouragement than the ladies do. Seriously, keep your eyes on the Lord no matter what's happening. I think really that's about that. Is anybody here has, if any of you folks at the back, any private prayer requests that you want to, we'll pray for it. You don't have to give details, even just sticking up your hand and the Lord knows what your prayer request will be. No? Okay, we'll just pray for you then, just like we pray for everybody else. One other request that I haven't gotten any professional confirmation of was, you know, we've been having great difficulty trying to get the land valued for Bethel. So I remembered with my lightning quick razor sharp memory the fact that Henry Craig sold 30 or 40 acres of land up behind the house. So I texted him and he gave me a ballpark figure which was probably a little bit higher than what he actually paid for it, of between 10 and £12,000 per acre. And the church is sitting on about half an acre. 70 yards by 70 yards. That's 70 big steps. 70 of those square is an acre. And a hectare is about 2.5 acres. So bear that in mind. That's substantially less than what we were being asked for by the church, even at a concessionary charity-to-charity rate. So please do pray about that. And I pray, that's the other thing. Services on Wednesday are going to be, I think, at the usual time of 7 o'clock. But all being well, from Sunday on, we're going to bring the services back to 6 o'clock, and the same will be for services on a Wednesday evening. They'll be brought back to 6 o'clock because there's supposed to be some sort of curfew in place, and we don't want anybody, any of the boys in blue, to get upset about anything. So we will accommodate them. We are still having the church services.
I thought that was a joke.
No. When you see... Unless you have something important to do, unless you have grass to watch growing or paint to watch drying, you'll have to stay in. I mean, something important, you know. But do you know what? Is that curfew only for 1 week? Well, that makes good. That's good. So for that week, at the moment. The
virus is only spreading for 1 week at those
times. Oh, well, that's super. And it wasn't spreading during the time everybody was eating out to help out.
Oh.
Anyway, I'll keep you up to date. But the important thing is, service will be at the usual time on Wednesday. We're having a Christmas service on, I was going to say Sunday morning, on Friday morning at 10 o'clock, 10 till 11, and then we will be away home, just a wee bit of fellowship, sing some praises, a little bit of Bible reading, and some prayer time. So, and maybe even a short message, which I was aiming to do today, to get everybody home at a good time, and everybody chatted for the same length of the service again. But I'm not complaining. My bit was done on time. Anyway, that's the plans. The more serious note, pray about everything, even the funny things we mentioned this evening. Pray for our country, because someone is going to have to do better than rolling a dice and looking at the actions they take at the moment. We need someone with wisdom to run the country and make decisions. Please do pray for America. Please do pray for all of the other countries in the world. America is getting it very tight at the moment. And if things don't work out there, I can guarantee you life is going to change a lot in the near future. So please do pray. It's very, very important. I think that's about it. We got thanks off of everybody this morning. Does anybody have any other thanks? All good? Maybe there'll be a bit more thanks on Wednesday. I look forward to that then. Amen. Right, I'll have a word of prayer and then we will continue. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you, Lord, again for your open invitation to come before you as often as we need, for as much as we need, or indeed as little as we need. And I pray, Father, not just for the names and the places and the events that we mentioned there now, but Lord, all the issues of our hearts and all the situations around and about us and the occurrences, you know, we don't know what's going to happen, but if we keep our eyes upon you, Lord, we can be sure we will get through them. Pray, you, Lord, please, for saved souls to build their lives upon you, Lord, not upon the sinking sand of whatever latest fashion or whatever is going around at the moment, but to base our lives upon you. So whenever things do happen, and we know that they will, Father, that we can be sure that we're resting in the palm of your hand, in the palms of your hand. I pray you for each one of us this evening, Lord, for good attention for Christy, for inspiration for Christy, for the words to say, Lord, fill his mouth with the things that we need to hear tonight. And I pray you, Lord, for, if I haven't mentioned already, for each one of our private prayer requests, for health, for loved ones, for salvation, for folks that we know. Lord, I pray you for that too. Please, please. For wee Shannon, for Sean and Kathleen, for Dennis Johnson, Lord, for the Hout family, if I've pronounced that properly. For our brothers and sisters across the world, very especially, Lord, for the children that we support in Tanzania and all of the other children there, for the charities, Lord, that maybe is not just getting as much by way of contributions as they would have up until now. I pray you, Lord, those that keep people's heads above water and keep preaching the gospel in darkened lands, Lord, that you would watch over and keep them. Please, Lord, preserve the Christian Institute. Please, Lord, I pray you work in the hearts and minds of our leaders. And Father, don't let them go. Never let them go, Lord. Shame them for bad behavior and encourage them in good behavior. And remind them, Lord, to be nice to your people, to the Jew first, Lord, and to the Christian. Because anybody that doesn't like the Jews, Lord, is not going to be liked by you. Thank you for loving us, Lord, and for your Son, for your word, and for the freedom that we have to meet together around your word. And I pray that you would bless this special time. Love you and praise you. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord.
Someone pick a favorite hymn before we get into the boogeyman virus. Only comes out after 8. I'm quick before I get more cynical. What number is it? Do I know it?
Yes. 427.
You just shouting the title without knowing the number and you just knew what you wanted.
427. Were you Mark? What? Were you a backhander? Fiver?
Stand for joy to the world.
Joy to the world.
Situation is changing. We have a Savior that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Despite our cynicism about things changing. Acts 13 we're in tonight. Acts 13. Acts 13, we're going to read the first 12 verses, and the title tonight is The Church with a Mission. The Church with a Mission. Verse number 1 reads, Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas, and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. When they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul, and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him, and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Amen. Well, would you lead us in a word of prayer?
Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight, Lord. Those cold and wet outside Monday, Lord, you know that, Lord, you have a presence in this church, Lord. Lord, be one of our number, Lord. Bessie tonight is covered, Lord. And give Kristen the sermon, give them the touch of the Spirit, Lord, to teach us through thy word, Lord, and point us things that we should know, Lord. And Lord, pray for us and give us a stay and bless us every household that is represented tonight. Remember Shannon, Lord, pray for that young child, Lord. Help her in operations, Lord. Heal her, Lord, I pray thee, Lord. And to manage her suffering and her pain and her uncomfortableness, Lord. Pray for her also, Lord. Pray for the churches and the missionaries throughout this world, Lord. Or proclaim thy gospel to those who are saved, to those who are lost, Lord. Save those who are lost, Lord, by the mighty power of the Spirit, Lord, also, Lord. And pray for the charities that we support, Lord. Pray for the Kids for School, Open Doors, Release International, and Christian Institute, Lord. And all those, pray for the missionaries also that we support, also, Lord. Pray for the Collins, the Cosgraves, basically, Lord, the Haynes, Ashworth, the Bissetts, Mr. Staley, Lord, and others, Han Daly, and the Liberty behind bars. We pray for the persecuted church throughout the war, Lord. Bless them and keep them, Lord, and give them the gifts of the Spirit, Lord, and bless them and love them, and Lord, show them that they're not alone, Lord, for fight for them and help them, Lord. We pray for Christ, as he expresses the gospel tonight, Lord. We pray for them, Lord, and Lord, bless us as we learn more from thee, and bring us and keep us for Jesus Christ again. Amen.
Amen. Last week we spoke of the advancing church and we've seen Herod attack the church leaders, killed James by the sword, arrested Peter. An angel of the Lord delivered Peter, but the church advanced through prayer, through testifying Christians and through the announced word of God and staying the course in their ministry. And here we are, we move on and we're back in the church of Antioch now. In these days, the center of the early church was Jerusalem. Since the day of Pentecost. And now at this point, the center of the church has changed and become Antioch, at least in this portion forward. And many know the church in Antioch as the cradle of church missions. And that's what we want to get into tonight, is this is a church with a mission, and we just want to break down some of the things that went on here. So the church defined biblically is a called out assembly of believers purchased by the blood of Jesus, indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. That's you and I that have been to Calvary, that attach ourselves to a local church and serve God therein and the calling wherewith he has called us. Church was built by Jesus. He said, I will build my church. And it's built upon Jesus. He said, upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And it's built, it was built after Jesus came to earth. So without him, it didn't exist. It's a separate entity to Israel, but it is of Jesus and for Jesus and by Jesus. Antioch was birthed out of persecution. After Stephen was executed, Christians were scattered abroad. Many went into Phoenice and Cyprus, and others then went to Antioch, preaching to the Jews only, until men of Cyrene came and stood and proclaimed the gospel to those Gentiles and the Greeks that were in the roundabout Antioch. Jerusalem heard word of what went on in Antioch and the church movement there, and the church plant and all the believers that had just joined the church. And they send Barnabas. Barnabas gets there, sees the grace of God, and he's happy and glad and sees the work that's going on there. And he goes to Tarsus to seek Saul and bring Saul to the work. And they spend a whole year ministering to the folks at Antioch and just discipling those newborn believers in the faith, teaching them the many doctrines of the Word of God. So we have this church then out of which world missions comes. Now, at this point, we've talked many things about a church, and I hope we're not just sitting back thinking that we need to just be critical of the church as a building. No, we're talking about the church as individuals within the church, which make up a local church. So I hope that, although we're talking about the church, that you can apply it and discern what's for you and what's for us out of it. If we go on, it tells us here some of the prophets and teachers in verse number 1, such as Barnabas, Simon, Lucius, and Saul, who are part of the church and leading the ministry there. And as they minister to the Lord, and what a key phrase there as verse number 2 opens up. See, we often hear of a pastor ministering to his congregation and members of the congregation ministering to each other. But very often we don't hear about Christians ministering to the Lord. But this opens up the occurrence of what was happening at the church of Antioch. They ministered to the Lord and they fasted. And Romans 12:1 tells us to present our body a living sacrifice, which is a reasonable service. That's how we minister to the Lord. We give what we have as ours, and that's our bodies, even though we're bought with a price to the Lord. And that is how we minister to him. We worship him, praise him, prayer. We preach and we listen to what he wants us to do. And that's how we follow the church at Antioch and minister unto the Lord. But they fasted. And fasting really has become a thing of the past, at least as far as I can tell and see. No longer do we deprive ourselves of a meal so that we can seek God. But this church here, and not just in this instance, but even earlier, when Peter was in prison, they fasted and prayed unceasingly. And here we have them fasting again, and it doesn't tell us the reason that they are fasting or praying, but we know, or we could probably guess what it is with what we know from reading on. And I would take a stab, not completely in the dark, but in the light, because I have the verses here in front of me, to say that they fasted and prayed and sought God about the need for Jesus to spread abroad throughout the world. And if we claim that to be true, then we see how God answered their prayer. And that is by using them, by sending these people who had a desire for souls all around the world to know their Savior. And that's oftentimes how God works. There'll be people who have a burden and are constrained by a need that they identify, and they'll get to praying. And God oftentimes turns those prayers into actions, and he says, well, you're praying, you have a burden. Why don't you go and do and fulfill? God often sends those who have a heart for prayer. And that's just what happened here. And the Holy Ghost, once they're ministering to the Lord, they're fasting, the Holy Ghost starts to speak. And here we have the calling of missionaries. And this is where we get the belief that missionaries, preachers, pastors, evangelists, missionary helps are called. It's not just a career. It's a calling. And the first words he says is, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul." You see, we can't truly say yes to God until we separate ourselves from those things that would take us away from that calling. We need to be separate from those things that would take up the space that God needs. And that's what the Holy Ghost said. It wasn't a bad work that was going on in Antioch. It wasn't anything bad that he said to separate them from. But it was something that would take place, or take the place of the work that the Holy Spirit would have Barnabas and Saul to do. And what a good decision it looks like at this point now for Barnabas to head down into Tarsus to get Saul. It's all coming together. And if you look at the last verse of the previous chapter, they bring John Mark with them, who's later mentioned in this chapter as being with them as their minister. So he followed them on this missionary journey. But they were to be separate. The Holy Spirit had been constraining them, had been working upon Barnabas and Saul. And he tells the church that he needs the church to let them go. And he gives no cause for doubt as to who the calling was from. He tells them to separate them for the work whereunto I have called them. It wasn't their own desire to go to a certain city where there was flash buildings and opportunities for business gain. It was where the Spirit was leading them. It was the work that the Spirit would have them do. After they had fasted and prayed in verse number 3, the church kept laying their hands on them. And this is really, it's almost like a seal of approval or a commissioning of the church to say, we acknowledge your call. The laying on of hands is not the call itself. It's an acknowledging of, it's a backing of that soul. And it's almost a way for the church to say, we'll support you as you follow the Lord in this call. So they lay hands on, they encourage, they lift up, and they pray for these men who are about to be obedient. And they send them on their way. I like how the Holy Spirit spoke directly to Saul and Barnabas. It doesn't say that Saul and Barnabas have been telling church about their call. The Holy Spirit here told the church what he was calling them to do. We know oftentimes that doesn't happen in these days, because we know that no one else knows God's will for us. But here we have an instance where the Spirit told the church what he wanted them to do. They go on. Verse number 4. They're sent by the Holy Spirit. They're directed by the Holy Spirit. There was no missionary board to tell them what to scope out. There was no scoping out of the area, scoping out the spiritual needs of a certain area, looking out houses and where you would lay the land and then plant the church. They just went and followed the Spirit. They keep traveling on and obeying. And they get to Seleucia. I think I'm saying that right. They go, they depart onto Seleucia. Then they sail to Cyprus. There's multiple stops in this journey. Then they come to Salamis, and they start preaching the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. John's with them, and they're just telling the same message as they've been telling the whole time. There is a Savior for your sin, and he is willing to reconcile you to God. Yes, he was crucified on the cross, but he rose again. I've never read a message in Acts so far where the disciples didn't talk about the resurrection. So you can assume that they preached the resurrection here to the Jews as well. Then they go to Paphos. And a certain sorcerer they're met with, and he wants to get in the way of this deputy getting saved. Sergius Paulus, and it says he's a prudent man, he's a smart man, he's a learned man. But he has this sorcerer with him, this false prophet, a Jew called Bar Jesus. Bar in the Bible normally means son of, so I assume he took this name to himself given the popularity of the church movement at this time and how on fire the disciples were and how receptive people were to the word of God. So he took on the name Son of Jesus to try and gain followers. But this deputy desired Saul and Barnabas. He wanted to hear the word of God. I'm sure he had heard many rumors of what went on in Antioch. I'm sure he heard of what was going on in Jerusalem and in the borders round about Jerusalem. I'm sure that he had heard that no longer were these apostles just focused on the Jews, but they were now preaching to the Gentiles and that salvation was now open to the Gentiles and God was saving those that were not Jews only. I'm sure that he heard that no longer are they called Jews and Gentiles, but they're called Christians, as they were at Antioch. So he wanted to hear what they had to say. Clearly that it was a message that people were paying heed to, and he was willing to listen. But Elymas, which is the interpretation of this sorcerer's name, which is Bar-Jesus, it says in verse number 8, he withstands them. Not only does he withstand the word of God and oppose these men, he's doing it so that the deputy won't get saved. And oftentimes that's what goes on in the world. People are afraid to get saved because of what their friends might say or what their family will say. And one preacher used to say they can laugh you into hell, but they can't laugh you out. If you go there for souls laughing at you, well, it's your own fault. They'll not be there to help you in hell. And they'll not be laughing when they're there themselves. Don't let anyone else get in the way between you and your faith and you believing in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Saul, filled with the Holy Ghost and filled with boldness, he puts his eye on him. And as I read that, I think of a man with a rifle putting his eye through the scope on his target. And he goes to town on him. He says, you're full of subtlety, you're full of mischief. You're a child of the devil. You're not Bar Jesus, you're Bar Devil. Is what he said. He identifies the source of this man's power. He says he's the enemy of everything that's right and just. And to stop perverting the ways of the Lord. And getting in the way of God's will. He tells him that the hand of the Lord is upon him. That the word of God has come to this house. And you best not stand in the way. And what happens is, Paul says, you're going to be blind. And immediately a mist falls, darkness comes upon his eyes, and he's going around, wondering who's going to lead him by the hand, because he can no longer see, never mind perform magic. And this deputy, he sees what's going on, and he heard the message preached, and he's astonished, he's amazed that there was such power in words, but not only was there such power in words, there was great power in action. That followed these words. Because God had confirmed the words that they would speak with signs and wonders following, it says in the book of John. Can I just tell you that the Holy Spirit will add a sign of heaven to ministry? It'll perform the work that needs to happen in a soul's heart for them to get saved. And this is what happened here. This is the first recorded convert in the missions journey in the Word of God. Missions refers to the reaching of the world. Now we've seen the transitions of the early church. It was those at Jerusalem first. Then it went to the borders round about Jerusalem, but still focused to the Jews. And then Peter took it to the Gentiles and got a bit of stick from it. But then once he testified of what had happened, his release from prison and how God worked upon him, then it went beyond the Jews and into the Gentiles. And here we have two men that's fully committed and fully focused and fully directed by the Holy Spirit of God to go wherever he says go and to do whatever he says do. And here you see the benefit of a soul that's sold out for Christ and for God as fruit is brought forth because the harvest was ripe and ready. And here we have the deputy being saved and added to the family of God. Is the Holy Spirit still calling souls? Mm-hmm. I think he is. But I think the church firmly has their fingers planted in their ears. And they're no longer saying, I need to be separate and I need to go and I need to do this work. They're saying, I'm comfortable here, Lord, I can't go. Where Isaiah said, "Here am I, Lord, send me." We're saying, "Look to someone else, Lord, send them." Hebrews 13. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Still calling souls the same way he called souls back then. I think what's changed is the church is listening. And we're no longer have our ears open for that small, still voice. Let us be an Antioch type of church. A church with a heart for missions. And I know we support missionaries. And I'm glad of it. And I'm sure they're glad of it. Just as Paul and Barnabas and John Mark here encountered this spiritual battle and the opposition of the devil here in the form of this sorcerer, so our missionaries today face the same fights. Let us pray for our pastors and leaders and our missionaries. It's a lonely path, and when you feel like you're fighting alone, you're more likely to give up. God sent the disciples out two by two, and here he sent out a team of missionaries. He didn't send out one man. He sent out Saul and Barnabas, and they took John Mark with them. Let us be a team. Let us support one another. If we can't go, let us give. And if we can't give, let us pray. But let us be a church of missions. And not only be focused on worldwide missions, because I've heard many stories of churches that would send people far and wide across the world, but they wouldn't go across the train tracks to give a gospel tract to a black man. Or to give a gospel tract to a Roman Catholic or a Protestant. They get so focused in the world mission and just hitting that reputation that they forget about the souls in their own communities, in their own countries, in their own cities. And what an awful shame and a disgrace it is. And we can give of our money to reach those souls that we'll never meet, yet we'll look the man that lives next door to us in the face and say, "I ain't giving you a chance of getting saved." And we withhold the gospel from them. Let our hearts be to support and to send those. The church was obedient here in that they seen the call of the Holy Spirit and they allowed their leaders to be separate. Two of their great leaders, Saul and Barnabas, they were willing for them to leave. And oftentimes churches want those that would work just to keep them themselves. But if it be that the Spirit calls someone somewhere, just bid them go. Godspeed to you and go, and we'll support you however we can. Lay hands on them, pray over them, and away you go. Do what you need to do in the will of God. Let us not forget our local missions. We do have plenty, especially in these days. But let us also have a heart for those kids in Tanzania, for those folks in the Philippines who are surrounded by darkness. We think it's dark in our days when we're enlightened in a religious sense. Think of a country that's taken captive by all the doctrines of the devil. They're out there. Countries are out there, and they need folks out there going to the field and just preaching whatever way they can and supporting those that have been and are there already. This church set about the missions, and so we have the birth of world missions. Let us follow on in Antioch's footsteps. We don't need to send two or three of us. We don't even need to send one if the Lord wouldn't will it. But what we do need to do is support those whom the Lord has sent. Let us be a church with a mission. And that mission could just be as simple as, "I am going to be a friend to X, Y, and Z and just show that I care." How is the world ever going to know that we care if we're never there for it? If we're never there in the hard times and the bad times. And they'll laugh you to scorn. They'll laugh you to scorn when you preach at them. But as soon as trouble strikes, who's the first call that they make to? It's to the Christian. It's to the one that they know that they'll take the time to connect with God and say, "Lord, they're having a hard time. Would you help them? Would you show yourself true? And would you save their souls?" Amen. Let us be a church with a mission. It will not always result in the deputy getting saved. But don't let that be as a fault of ours for not being a church with a mission. Amen. The back bench needs to choose a hymn. Because I think every other bench chose one tonight. Or two.
Curtis actually
pastored
a little bit.
You need to stand for that one as well. Mission was just to hand out gospel tracts when he wasn't cutting hair outside his barber shop. It can be as simple as just going about your daily life but taking the gospel with you. But let us have a mission individually, and then we as a church will have many missions. Amen. Close us in prayer, Mark, if you would.
Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank the Lord again for this little bit of time that we've set aside to listen to your word, and I pray you, Lord, that you would continue to work upon us and make us mindful that our entire lives are actually missions, outreaches. We don't have to be in a foreign land speaking to someone with a different skin color and a different language. Lord, our neighbors and friends, please, Lord, save souls. Please take and use this Christmas time and even the things that the world, the flesh and the devil is designed to destroy people's lives and to separate them from everything that they know and love. Lord, use this as a time to draw folks close to you, to draw folks to the foot of the cross. Please save souls, Lord. Please edify the saints. Please bless Christy for his faithfulness and bring us the message this evening. And please inspire each one of us. Please see us also safely home, Lord, and back at the next appointed time. Love you and thank you. Pray it all in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.